Good afternoon, I'm Russell Brown.
And I'm David Slack.
Welcome to Public Address Radio, a program that draws on the resources of publicaddress.net and other parts of the blogosphere. We'll be presenting a weekly program at this time, embracing culture, commentary, comedy and more.
In today's show, we look at the revival of a unique New Zealand film you'll have to have been born before 1965 to have seen. We'll visit Sachin Tendulkar's home pitch in Mumbai. We'll introduce a new science bulletin by David Haywood.
And I get to go to a whiskey festival. But first, the week that was.
What did you think of the 40 Below Face Party,
oh,
Russell?
Oh, well, good on them for trying, David. Yeah, no, I think National actually has to reclaim the youth voters some way. I'm not quite sure whether a hotel ballroom was quite the funky environment they were after, though.
The thing that struck me most about it is this. Cool, the rules of cool say you cannot declare yourself to be that. It can only be anointed upon you by somebody else. So that was a little bit of a stretch. That was the first thing. The second thing that intrigued me was there was a speech apparently he gave at this bun fight that said, if New Zealand was a company, I'd buy it, but I'd change the management. And I get a little nervous when people regard politics as a business proposition. I also get a little nervous for the poor old employees of New Zealand in this particular analogy. The notion that we might have some expendable citizens is a little perturbing for me.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. He doesn't seem to be able to come up with a political philosophy or a political idea that doesn't relate directly back to his business background.
Yes, and you got that also with the interview with Jackie Brown asking him about his musical favourites. It was clear that he's not a man with a broad canvas of interests.
Yeah, no, Brooke Fraser. Oh, which album? Oh, and he actually said, and we'll play it at the moment, he said, oh, I don't listen to it, and then corrected himself. And then we had a rather enthusiastic young woman saying, well, the fine thing he was and how he was a great thing for the National Party. And then Jackie Brown said, so what electorate is he the MP for? And whoops-a-daisy.
There was something else about her observation. I think the woman who was being interviewed was talking mostly in terms of how the party was being portrayed and marketed. And as much as it's important for politics to be well marketed, it becomes something akin to a tragedy when the marketing is everything and the politics behind it are not by any means clear.
Anyway, perhaps we should listen to the Campbell Live clip, courtesy of our friends at Spare Room, who've got it online. Spareroom.co.nz, that is.
What's your favourite band?
My favourite band is, it could be anyway. I like Brooke Fraser, actually. She's not really a band, is she? But I like Brooke Fraser.
Yeah, which album do you like the best of hers?
Oh, I don't know. One of the ones I like. I listen to them, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
But I don't name them.
And Claire, why are you here?
I vote National. I'm a strong National supporter, and I think that this is a new face of the National Party. I think that, sure, get people here, get them drunk on the Man of War wine. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think it's National Party is forging forward with a smart, intelligent young crew.
Something that people are saying is that we don't actually know enough about John Key. We know that he's a great groovy guy and he doesn't wear a tie and he's a party animal, but his policies, do you know which electorate he's from?
Helensville,
there you go.
She doesn't know.
Canterbury, because he's from Canterbury.
Another thing that happened this week was the premiere of a rather special New Zealand film. Cast your mind back to 1970. If you weren't there, just fake it. And the last great world expo, Expo 70 in Osaka, Japan. The centrepiece of the New Zealand Pavilion in Osaka was This Is New Zealand, a remarkable 20-minute illustration of the land and life of New Zealand that displayed simultaneously on three screens. If the film was a hit in Osaka, it was bigger than the Beatles back home. It toured New Zealand and school children were taken to see it by the classful. But it's barely been seen since because of the technical challenge of running three interlocked projectors. Now, Archives New Zealand, technicians at Peter Jackson's Park Road Post, and original director Hugh MacDonald and sound designer Kit Rawlings have collaborated to remaster the original film into a single digital master video. The new This Is New Zealand, which has already won an award in the New York festivals, premiered this week at Park Road. But I snuck in a couple of days before to get a preview and talk to Hugh MacDonald and Kit Rawlings.
In
Expo 67 in Montreal.
Sound designer Kit Rowlings.
Our technical director went there, came back all fired up with enthusiasm because he'd seen a five-screen film that the Canadian Film Board had done for the Air Expo, and he said to our manager, Jeffrey Scott, you should go and look at it. And so the manager went there, came back and said, what we will do is a three-screen film. And he called Hugh McDonald, the director, in and said, this is the project, go to it.
Well, one of the great things which we weren't always aware of at the time is that Jeffrey Scott, who was the manager of the film unit, and who was the driving force behind this production originally as the executive producer, really, we're really disappointed in Jeffrey because he died last year, aged 97, and he hasn't got to see this fully restored version. But as long as we were doing something which was, in fact, going the right way it should, he didn't interfere, he just supported us. At the early stage of this production, we were having some problems trying to put the images together, and some of our early ideas didn't work, and they were just too different. They looked right on paper, but they didn't work. And one of the producers just threw his hands in the air and said, I've got to start again, don't understand it. Claude Wickstead, who was Claude's boss, he was Kit's boss as head of the sound department, went in to see Jeff, and he said, that don't worry about the boys, they know what they're doing. So Claude had no idea what we were doing any more than we did at that stage, but he supported us. And of course, we suddenly realised we were going wrong. We had certain things which we planned right in the script, but other things just weren't working. And it was just a process of, if you've never done something before, you've got to go up a few blind alleys until you get exactly what you're looking for. It didn't take long.
The piece of music, of course, that everyone remembers from the film is the Corellia Suite. Who picked that?
It was a combination. Hugh and Dave had the final say, of course, but we all went up to one of our other colleagues who was a classical music critic, and he had shelves and shelves of LPs, and we went through and chose the Corellia Suite. It seemed to be the pick of the pieces that we listened to.
Now, I talked to Jack Boddy, the New Zealand composer, about This Is New Zealand last year without even knowing the project was underway. And he said, oh, look, I would love to rescore that film. It's a New Zealand film. It should have a New Zealand soundtrack. Do you think there's ever any chance of that happening?
No, I wouldn't think so, not because it is now in the possession of the archives and it is a piece of New Zealand history, so you don't change that one. You could make another one. But having said that, I mean, we made Sibelius into, as Hugh says, New Zealand's most famous composer.
What was some of the other music in there?
Bruno Lawrence, Jeff Murphy and John Charles and the Blurter Band played a couple of pieces. Bruno did the drumming for it. The slow music and romantic music over the winter scenes was the ballad from the Corellia Suite. And then there's a lot of other local music. Days of Pearly Spencer from Clive Coburn and the Avengers, without the vocals. Wherever possible, we used New Zealand music. And there was a bit of other library music as well.
How did the restoration project come about? Whose idea was it? Who asked who?
Well, this is a long story, but about 3 years ago, Alan Honey, who's a colleague of ours, had been working with Dave Gibson. He did the technical stuff behind Golden Days at Te Papa, and I lent him my 35 print of This Is New Zealand because they wanted to quote scenes from it in Golden Days. And Alan always, I found out subsequently, had a secret ambition to restore This Is New Zealand, and so he worked on it, and I gave him the rest of the print, and he transferred all three reels and the sound, and he put it together in high definition on computer. And we actually screened it in one of these theatres around here. And before Archives New Zealand got involved, then we involved Archives New Zealand with Clive Sowry at the time, who was the film archivist. And Clive subsequently sort of retired, and it really didn't actually pick up until David Smith got to hear of it and became very interested, so he came back to us. But it's always been in the offing ever since we made it, because people kept coming back and saying, when can we get to see it? Lots of people have said, can I get it in VHS? Can I get it in DVD? Well, the answer is no. It's not designed for that format. in the next generation of widescreen television, I think it'd be acceptable to have high quality HD version done for that technology, as long as the screen is wide enough. But it'll, in a 4x3 format, it just looks too small. It's never designed to be miniaturized like that.
When did Park Road Post come into the picture? Because as soon as I heard about it, I had this image of, it must be that Peter Jackson had, you know, seen it as an 8-year-old and never forgotten
it. Well, he has seen it. I don't think he's seen this version yet, but he's going to at some stage, I believe. But anyway, they came into it because they're the people who've got all the right resources to go back to the original negatives and scan it all at HD from the original negatives, and then we could control every part of the process from there onwards and get it as clean as possible, and get rid of any shake or weave, and correct the colour, and then do all the digital stuff with the sound that Kit was talking about. They've got it all here. Up until recently, there just hasn't been the technologies to do it properly.
Because it does, it looks and sounds fabulous. It's vivid.
Yeah, well, actually, I think it's exactly the same movie, but technically, I think it looks and sounds better than ever before.